pick up again, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to finish off this morning. We started looking at King Asa, and so this evening we're going to finish up looking at this idea of King Asa. I'll review a little bit from this morning. We considered the revival that was led by King Asa. If you remember in our discussion as far as the introduction this morning in 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles is set up just a little bit differently. It follows a lot of the descendants of King David, but it concentrates a lot with the southern kingdom known as Judah. And so there's about 20 kings that are involved with the southern kingdom, and five of them kind of raise above all the others, okay? And King Asa is one of those. It's the first revival that the southern kingdom experiences. Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, I think Joash and Josiah, those ones also experienced revival. And there was reasons that they were that God allowed revival. And part of it happened because of the kings and what they instilled back into the people. And so we considered that this morning. We looked at some of his character as far as King Asa's character. And then we also looked at what were some key components of revival. And looking at chapter 15, we saw that it was return to Bible preeminence, a return to biblical separation, and then a return to a life of faith. And so this evening, what we're going to be doing is considering then the demise of King Asa, the demise of King Asa. As good as men are, they are just that. They are men. And he started out great, but he let some things slip. And this is what I would like us to consider this evening. I believe it is appropriate as we come to partake of the elements of communion. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28 that let a man examine himself. And so as we come to the latter portion of King Asa's life and we see his demise, hopefully it'll be instructive to all of us that then we'll be able to look and say, well, maybe there's some things that I've let slip. I'm going to examine myself, especially as I come to the communion table and I'm remembering the blood that was shed and the body that was broken. May it be that I am worthy, I am living worthy of this salvation. I am not just taking it for granted. It should be a joyful time to think of Christ's death and how he paid my price, but it also is a reflective time to think of his death. Am I honoring his death through my life as I live here on this earth? Heavenly Father, I pray that as we consider the demise of King Asa, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we just consider three ideas quickly before we partake of the elements. Lord, I pray that you would help us to consider in our lives, are there some things like happened to King Asa that are leading me away from the Lord rather than closer to him? As always, Lord, I ask you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. The world of science has produced authoritative technical tests which prove, all right, and this was many years ago, aerotechnical tests prove that a bumblebee cannot fly due to the shape and weight of its body in relation to total wing area. Now, the bumblebee isn't able to read. And so he hasn't read the study, and I guess he hasn't heard the, he's not able to tune in to fake news and different things like that. And so he keeps on flying anyway, even though all the tests say it shouldn't happen. Facing reality and opposition to faith in God is sometimes just like that as far as the bumblebee. There are many times our own souls, our own thoughts say, don't believe in God. There may be times that folks in this world that bring convincing and rational arguments against having faith in God. But we must learn to rely and live by faith as Christians. We read this morning as we closed this morning in James chapter 2 and verse 17, even so faith If it hath not works, is dead being alone. And there are three things that kind of come out in the passage at the end of King Asa's life, and we're going to consider them in the demise of King Asa. First of all, in chapter 16 and verses 7 through 9, and we ended this because this is also a key ingredient to revival for King Asa. It reminded King Asa of what he was and why God allowed revival to come back to the children of Israel. But notice, here is this Hanani. At that time, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 7, at that time Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. So let's go back up and get a little bit of context. In the first few verses of chapter 16, it says that in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, so that's 36 years into his reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah, built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent him to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there's a league between me and thee. So what did he do? So he was mad at Baasha. So he goes and he takes things that were apportioned to God and he sends them off to the king of Syria and says, hey, let's partner up and we're going to beat this guy. And so then a prophet comes. And notice, that's what verse 7. Hanani, the seer, comes and he says, you relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore, as the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand, because God's basically saying, I would have given you Syria. I'd have given you that too. And notice what he says in verse 8. We're not the Ethiopians and the Lubans, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen. We talked about that this morning. We saw that in chapter 14, that there was a million man army that came up against Asa here, and they were coming against him. And so what King Asa does, and it's proving that the man that he was and why God sent revival, is he fell on his face and he called out to the Lord. So one of the demises in our life and one of the demises of King Asa was a lack of faith. We see what it says here. We're not the Ethiopians and the Lubans, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we read how the king of Israel, who likely was jealous of Asa's wealth, decided to invade Judah, fortifying the city of Ramah just north of Jerusalem. He wanted to cut off supplies to Jerusalem. In response, Asa took money out of the treasury and sent it to the king of Syria to hire mercenaries to attack Israel in the north. As the Syrians invaded Israel, the king had to redeploy his troops to the north, and Asa sent troops to Ramah to dismantle the fortifications being built. He used the materials then to fortify his own cities. It was a clever strategy that worked, but Asa was no doubt proud of himself and of his wealth, knowing he could always buy his way out of trouble. God had blessed him. He had all this abundance, but Asa forgot something. He forgot that he was supposed to rely on the Lord, not on his own strength, not in his own flesh. And that is one of our demises. And that's what I was saying this morning. And we've been at it 50 years. Some of you, you've been saved 50 years. All right, some of you, this is one of the stops in your journey through Christianity. Our church has been, and maybe you've been here 10 years or maybe 20 years or maybe 1 year. And one of the habits of our lives is that we forget to rely on God. We stop having faith in God. Notice verse 9. I love this verse. It's one of the probably verses. I would think that sometimes you'll hear a pastor come in and he'll preach just on verse 9. Look at verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. And we see two things that kind of come out about this lack of faith. And in this Hanani that comes to him, a prophet, and he tells him this verse. And there's two things that basically come out of this verse. And that is, God wants to display his power. You know what he says there? He says, guess what God is doing? He is looking. His eyes are searching over and over and over, to and fro, throughout the whole earth. And what does he want to do? He wants to show himself strong. We saw that just displayed to us as we were on our knees and we're praying and we're begging God to give us wisdom through the COVID thing. And then we see Pastor Lewis getting attacked and God's saying, hey, I'm just looking. I want to show myself strong. And he's able to shut down a mayor. He's able to shut down a governor. Why? Because he's looking. He's looking to show himself strong. But you know what? That's why I told Pastor Lewis, still rely on God. Be vigilant. It's not because we're so smart. It's not because we're so mighty. It's because we're so tricky. It's because, oh, mentally, we're so superior. No, you know what? We're just weak. We are a weak, silly people that God has seen fit to use and bring together. And as a church, we're able to reach out to this community. And you know what God wants to do? If we can just rely on him, he wants to show himself strong. But our demise is we're like, hey, well, we've been at it. We've been at it so long. Hey, man, maybe some people could come in and they could sit down at our feet and we can just give them some of our wisdom. Be careful. Be careful. Because God is looking for somebody that he can show, did you notice? Himself strong. Not you. Because you know what we are? We're weak. We're weak, and a lot of times we're ineffective. A lot of times our efforts just don't seem to really produce much. But with his help. And then notice God wants to display his power, but he wants to display his power to the lives of his people. Did you notice the second half? He wants to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect. He wants to use us. He does. But you have to be faithful to him. You have to live a life of faith. God wants to display his power. When we don't rely on God, it's displeasing to him. And the result is that God starts letting us fend for ourselves. Did you notice what he said? Herein thou hast done foolishly. Because you're relying on yourself, now it's going to be foolishness. But you could have relied upon God, who is omniscient. You could have been known as, man, look at that guy, he's so wise. But automatically, we need to just deflect that and say, well, that's because I got a great God. That's because I got a mighty God. That's because he's so wonderful. It's not because I'm so great and I'm so... that's not the song, you know? Myself is so great, so strong and so mighty. That's what some of us are singing. There's nothing that I cannot do. All right, and we're like, yoo-hoo. All right, we're all singing there. We're like, yeah, that's it. Well, I think you messed it up. But that's what sometimes we're doing. And God's saying, no, 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 no. It's my glory. I'm the reason. And I'm looking all throughout the earth to show myself strong. But then secondly, notice what we see. The first demise, the first reason for a demise was a lack of faith. But notice, secondly, a lack of acceptance of rebuke. Ooh, this is hard. So what happens? Hanani the seer comes and gives him the beatdown. Right? I'm sure he's the king. Hey, I killed the million man march myself. I destroyed them. Don't you know who you're talking to? And even, it seems to indicate, even with the king of Syria, he was able to, Baasha, he was able to thump his melon. He was able to hit him up just on his own strength. But he said, you did foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you're going to have wars. You know, for those 36 years, we saw that this morning at the beginning. Remember what there was? There was peace. That's one of the things that God gave him. He gave him a lot of peace, and then he was preparing. He was preparing his people. And God likes to give us peace and rest. But now he says, because you're relying on yourself, you're going to have wars. Now, look at verse 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and he put him in prison. He's like, you know what? I don't like you. You know, lock him up and throw him in jail. You know, that's sometimes what we do. And as I was looking at this and studying it, I thought of three areas that reproof biblically that comes to us. There's three areas in the Bible. You could probably find some others, but there's three things that God uses to come and rebuke us. And we need to learn to take rebuke and reproof. The first is preaching. It's preaching. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 4, at the end of 2 Timothy, here is Paul talking to Timothy, who's going to go into the ministry. He's a young preacher, but he's not necessarily a teenager. He's not, I don't think, even in his 20s here. So notice what he tells them. All scripture, this is your bank. All scripture is given by inspiration. That's at the end of chapter 3. And it's profitable. And what's it profitable for? For reproof. All right? Well, it's for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that idea of reproof and correction kind of work together. Both of those, correction gives the idea of something that needs straightened. It's something that's out of line. And you know what preaching does? Sometimes we are out of line according to scripture. We're out of sorts a little bit. And we come to church and notice what he tells them. Right after he tells them what to use in your preaching, he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, I charge thee therefore, because you got this book that can reprove and correct and it can instruct. You know what you should do? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, what he's saying is use this book, because this book can straighten people out. And what you and I have got to understand is God brings things into our life through preaching. That's why we want a church that preaches the Word of God, that emphasizes the Word of God. Why do we want that? Because it's through the preaching of this book that sometimes I'm out of sorts and the Word of God straightens me back up. Sometimes I'm limping a little bit spiritually, or I have a broken arm, or I have a broken wrist spiritually. And man, the Bible is able to come in and correct that. So some of my rebuke comes through preaching. Another way that God rebukes is through personal Bible reading. Now, where do I find that? I find that in the Bible in John chapter 14. In John 14, the Bible says this in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then he tells them also in John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So what is he saying? He's saying that personal Bible reading. When I come to Scripture myself, that's why we stress that so much. Personal Bible study. It is not enough to just come and hear preaching on Sunday. It must be that it becomes a habit of your life, day in and day out, that personally I am sitting down with the Word of God and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures to me. Because you know what will happen? It says it right in this passage. If you noticed in John 16, we read verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Notice right above there. It says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, notice what he's going to do. He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Guess what he's doing? Reproof. There's that word again. Guess what the Holy Spirit will do? Through the Word of God, my personal Bible study, sometimes, and you know this, through your personal Bible study, God gets out the spank machine and he's spanking you, saying, no, no, no. You're not following this. Like, no, no, no. Yeah, personal Bible study. We have biblical examples in Acts chapter 8. We read of an Ethiopian eunuch. All right, so how in the world did he know that he needed Jesus? Personal Bible study, remember? He had a scroll that somehow got to him, and there's the Word of God, and he's reading Isaiah. And what happens to him? He finds out that I'm not saved. Why? From personal Bible study. And you know what you'll find out? You'll find out things in your life that you need to correct. When you get alone with God and you do personal Bible study, but this is the warning of King Asa. The warning of King Asa is the preaching when it comes. And we say this all the time, and I preach it all the time, and I say, let's have a church that steps on our toes sometimes. But guess what happens sometimes when your toes get stepped on? I don't know about that. Well, where's? Look in the Bible. Study the scriptures. We're preaching the word. Yeah, I don't mind. Line it up with scripture. Question it. But when it's right, don't throw the preacher in the prison house. When it's right and it's personal Bible study, don't chuck the Bible in the prison house. But then also you see another thing biblically that helps us in getting reproof and rebuke. Preaching. Personal Bible reading, and then sometimes, guess what? Personal relationships. Do we see that? Oh, yeah. We see personal relationships. Look at Acts chapter 18. I love this couple. All right? I love this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla are an interesting Bible study because you normally never find them, I think, every time they're mentioned, they're together. They're a couple, and they're not necessarily called to full-time service, but what you see is them serving all the time, serving God. They, in fact, move their occupation to serve the Lord. It's a great study, and just a couple being sold out to God. But in Acts chapter 18, here is a man in verse 24 named Apollos. And Apollos is a preacher. He's an eloquent man, a student of Scripture. Notice in verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, or Apollos, and you'll see him later. Many believe he became a pastor. Paul took him and wanted him to come to him. He became very strong in the word. But notice, he was born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Look at verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You know what that is? It's a personal relationship. You know, sometimes God brings somebody into your life, and maybe you can have them over to your house, and you can dig together into the Word of God, and they can help you grow in the Lord. So, and sometimes that's a reproof. Now, isn't it neat that Apollos here was able to take that? From, here's a couple, and guess what he became? Stronger in the scriptures. Stronger. So God is able, and I'm showing you Bible here. I'm not making these things up. And what we're saying is, King Asa, God sent Hanani to him. And said, hey, man, come on. The Lord, The Lord is looking, he's searching to show himself strong with those that have a perfect heart. And you didn't do it. Like, I don't like that message. Hey, take him to jail. It's unbelievable to me. But let's not get too high in our and lofty in our minds, because guess what we do sometimes? It could be somebody here. It could be a young child. It could be a young person, a teenager. And guess what? Mom and dad have sat you down and they've said, hey, here's the scripture and I don't like your attitude here. And guess what you're doing? You're throwing your parents into the prison house. No, I haven't thrown them into the prison house, but all right, spiritually, all right, metaphorically, that's what you've done. You've chucked the word, the rebuke of the Lord, and you put it away from you. That's what it's saying. You've locked it away because I don't want to hear it. That could be as young people here. It could be as an older person. It could be as an older person. And you know what? There is in the Bible, you have older and younger, and you have the Titus passage, but you also have through scripture, you have Jonathan. Remember that I call it the Saul syndrome. You have Jonathan, who was a really good young man, and you have King Saul, who basically has lost his marbles because he's filled with jealousy and he can't seem to get over the disobedient factor. And so here's Jonathan coming to dad and saying, dad, something's off. And he's like, why do you like that King David? Why do you like that David? And Jonathan just, in the right way, loves David as a brother. And what happens? All right. King Saul, his dad, all right, if you look it up in the Old Testament, King Saul tried to kill his own son. Remember, he tried to throw a javelin at David, but he tried to do it to his own son. And that's what some of us do. It could even be somebody younger. And you're throwing javelins at him. What is that? That picture is the same. It's the demise of your life when you can't handle rebuke. And King Asa right here, he's showing you. Get out of here. I'm throwing you into prison. He probably had the authority to do it. But guess what that? I'm glad for a prophet there. A prophet that said, hey, you can throw me in prison or not, but you're still a fool and you're going to have wars the rest of your life. And you know the Bible still, you can try to lock it up. You can try to throw the Holy Spirit away from you. And yes, you can in some sense sear your conscience a little bit, but that Holy Spirit has a way of just like a woodpecker, just keeping at it and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. And man, you're going to be so miserable as a Christian when you don't listen to that rebuke that the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the personal Bible study, and sometimes a personal relationship. So let's look at the last thing then. The last thing is found in verse 12 back in our text. So we see there's three things that led to the demise. A lack of faith, a lack of acceptance of rebuke, and you can see biblically that there is some rebuke that needs to come to us sometimes. But looking at the end of chapter 16, and behold, the acts of Asa, verse 11. First and last, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Look what he says. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. So what's the last demise? Lack of faith, lack of acceptance of rebuke, lack of seeking the Lord. Now, is it wrong that he sought the physicians? No, but notice what was first said. He didn't seek the Lord. And some of us in our life, we're like, oh, I know, but it amazes me. I've asked some of you even through this process as we're trying to talk to different people about Pastor Smith. And some of you are coming to me and I'm fine with that. But one of my questions is, so have you prayed? Have you prayed? What's up with us? When we won't get on our knees? And even when we have aught with somebody, Have you prayed about it? Have you gotten on your knees? There's so many of us, we do everything else. And, well, you don't know, I saw this on Twitter, or I saw this on this social media, and I saw this. Have you prayed? Then you're relying on yourself. You're relying on human reasoning. You're relying on the flesh again. And God says, seek me. I'm here. You can step into his presence at any time. And stop relying on everybody else's opinion. Stop relying on everybody else's thought and start going to this God that we have. An omnipotent God, an omniscient God, an all-knowing God. Man, he's so mighty, he's so powerful, and yet, hey, I can do this. I got it. No, you don't. You know what happens when you got it? You're going to get defeated again. Examine yourself. I thought this was interesting. I was reading about World War II, and during World War II, the German government distributed to the people radio sets that would receive only at the official Nazi station. It was a single station radio set. Hey, let's turn in. And they're like, It was one station. That's what they distributed. It was a single station radio set. Many of us are attuned the same way, to divine transmissions of blessing and comforting. But there's more. If we're not receiving all the transmission that is coming from God, then guess what? You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. You're like, oh no, I don't like that station. I'm going to change that. You know what? This is not Free Radio America, right, that we're talking about. What we're talking about is God's Word, and all of it, all Scripture is given to you and I. And so there are some things that we're going through, and guess what? I don't like it all the time, and you don't like it all the time, but it is God's Word, and it's there for your benefit. Let it do its work. Heads bowed, eyes closed, as we come to this